I'd like to start in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Said verse 2, it said, He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth or the land. Anyway, I was thinking about these scriptures and poor in spirit. It doesn't sound like, something you'd really want. Be poor in spirit. But I believe because it has the meaning to crouch, a beggar. But blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These are very similar thoughts, but they have to do with humility. And I was thinking about Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 28th verse. It says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now Jesus mentioned here that he was meek and lowly in heart. And to me that kind of gives a impression, the thought that comes to my mind, that he was approachable. He wasn't harsh. He was reasonable. He was approachable. He wasn't an untouchable, but he was somebody that was meek. They're not trying to take advantage of you. They're not trying to get what they can out of you, but they're there for your benefit, your blessing, your good. And I believe Jesus was that way. He was a meek. He was an humble. And he was the expressed image of the Father. The Father is meek. He's humble. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He's gentle with people. And I believe he's that way with us also. I want to just mention a few scriptures here that deal with meekness. Now the man Moses was very meek, Numbers 12:13, 12:3. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, Psalms 22 and 26. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way, Psalms 25 and 9. So there are a lot of promises that God has given to the poor in spirit, to the meek, and we want to pursue those. Another verse is Psalms, the 32nd chapter. I'd like to turn and read that. Psalms 32 and verse 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now here is a promise that the Lord would instruct us. And that other verse in Psalms, it says, The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And now he says, Don't be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You know, I'm just thinking about how people were kind of pre-wired. We kind of, as human beings, God has given us a choice whether to live for Him or not. He's given us many choices. We make many choices in life. He's given us that liberty, and most people are, they do just that. They choose. They do their own thing. They make their own way in life. They follow after what they want to do. There can be a stubbornness, a stiffness towards what we want, our own way, our own thoughts. And I thought about the scripture. It said, every way of man is right in his own eyes. You know, we can think our way is right. We can justify. We can give our excuses, our reasons of why our way is right. But the Lord wants us to be meek. He wants us to be humble. And to me, the humility is being able to say no to us, no to ourself, and yes to the Holy Spirit and what God is designing for our hearts and for our lives. Our stubbornness, our pride can stand in the way of God working. I want to notice, now it mentioned Moses being very meek. I want to just mention him briefly. Now Christ is a type of Moses. In Genesis there's a promise that the Lord would send Christ to raise up a prophet that would be like unto him, like unto Moses. Moses, I believe it mentions, was one of the meekest men of the earth. We read that Christ was meek, but I don't think Moses, I'll just give you my thoughts on it, and it's not all scriptural, but Josephus brings out that Moses was a general in Pharaoh's army. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but Josephus mentions that Moses was coming up in the ranks. He was a general in Pharaoh's army. There is one place, and I didn't find it. I believe there's a place in the scriptures where it said that Moses supposed that the people thought that he would knew how the Lord would deliver them out of his by his hand. Moses some way had an idea that, I don't know if it was from his parents raising up. I don't know. He was in Pharaoh's court. Somehow he identified with the Israelites. He killed the Egyptian soldier that was mistreating the Hebrew slave. That doesn't sound like a meek quality. But after 40 years, Moses fled Egypt. And after 40 years of being where he was at, when God appeared to him, it was like, I can't do it. I can't go. You've got the wrong person. And I believe the Lord wanted to bring Moses to that place of nothingness. That's what meekness is. It's being a beggar. It's a crouched position according to the Greek and the Hebrew words. He wanted him to come to that place, that position, so he could use him. If Moses would have tried to deliver the children of Israel in his own ability, his own strength, it wouldn't have accomplished. It wouldn't have been God's plan and God's design and God's purpose. So my belief is he had to bring Moses down to a place. And when he appeared to him, he said, I can't do this. Whereas before, it sounded like he felt like he could do it. He felt like he had the ability, the skill, the knowledge maybe to do it. But I believe this morning, if we can recognize our need and our insufficiency, that we can't do it. We can't do anything unless God is in it helps us or blesses. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but without Him, we can't do anything within ourselves. Life is a big failure if it's just us. Life is a failure. Our choices are, we're so prone to make wrong choices and wrong decisions because we can't see around the block. We can't see what's up ahead. We lack experience in so many areas and situations. Lord, help us today to recognize that we have a dependency upon God. We want to be poor in spirit. We want to recognize it's God. I want to get another text now in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This was after the children of Israel were taken captive to Babylon, and they didn't like it. They didn't like where they were at, and they had plans on going back. But Jeremiah sent them a letter in verse 1, Jeremiah 29. It says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives." So he sends them a letter. In verse 4, he said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." You know, it's interesting to note that the king Nebuchadnezzar left the poor of the land. He left the poor of the land to there at Jerusalem to manage. The ones that were disadvantaged, the ones that were, there was a lot of corruption. There were a lot of people that had lost, there were a lot of injuries, there was a lot of death. I believe in one place it talked about the blood, Jerusalem being the bloody city. There was a lot of corruption and ungodliness, and people were being taken advantage of. There was no justice. There was no judgment against evil. Just like it was a free-for-all. But Nebuchadnezzar left the poor of the land. Instead of taking them into captivity, he left the poor of the land to be there. And I just wondered in my mind if that was God giving them a little payback for some of their loss and all their, and I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. But he told the captives, he said, "Build ye houses and dwell in them." In the captivity, in the place they didn't want to be at, in the place where their enemies were. I'm sure this was a hard letter. You know, like in the New Testament, they said, "This is a hard saying, who can receive it?" This would have been a hard letter. Because the mindset, they were thinking they were going to go right back. They were thinking the Lord is going to deliver us and we're going to go right back. But he told them, he said, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." You know, it was the will of God for them to be in that place. God permitted them. It was His choice to be in that place. But He's telling them to build houses while you're there. Settle in. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. See, they were fighting against what was happening. They didn't want what was happening. They were fighting against it. You know, they were fighting against the will of God. They were fighting against God. And he told them, he said, just settle down. You're going to, later on, he said, you're going to be there 70 years. You might as well settle down so you can be increased and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. You know, that would take, we'd think that takes some grace of God. Seek the peace of the city and pray unto the Lord for it. Pray for it. After they stripped me from my home, they destroyed our city. Actually, the city was destroyed because of themselves. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to destroy. He did not want to destroy Jerusalem. He didn't want to burn it down. And he told them if they would surrender that he wouldn't. But they resisted. You know, I just been pondering, I think sometimes it's easy for us to resist the Holy Spirit with our own way, our own thoughts, our own ideas, to resist. And it's so easy for us to reason, to have excuses. But poor in spirit to me is saying, I surrender, Lord, to you, to your will, to whatever you want, whatever your design for my life. He said in that scripture we read in the psalm, he said, I will guide thee with mine eye. You know, the Lord has appointments in life for us, I believe. He has appointments. He has things for us to meet. He has things for us to go through. He has things for us to face that within our flesh we don't want to face. We don't want to. Our flesh rebels. Our flesh sometimes draws back. Our flesh reasons. I'm thankful for a nice, wonderful Heavenly Father that's patient with us. Because sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we don't realize that we're going against what the Lord has placed in our pathway. We don't realize that it's an appointment for us, that God is trying to help us spiritually. But it says the meek will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the land. The meek, when we surrender to God, will get the blessing that God wants for us to have. When we surrender to the Lord and we begin to say yes to God and we begin to drop our reasons, our excuses, our parameters, I have felt like in my life sometimes I've tried to serve God on my terms. I wanted to live for God, but sometimes we can want to do it on our terms. And the surrender is not there. The obedience is missing. We wander. We can wander and not gain the ground spiritually that God wants us to gain and to have. It comes through being poor in spirit and meekness and surrendering, humbling ourselves. There's a scripture this morning. Brother Gary mentioned it during Sunday school, Philippians, the second chapter. Now, Jesus was a lot like Moses. Moses had Pharaoh's court. He had the best. And Jesus did too. Jesus had heaven's best, but he surrendered. Philippians 2 and 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And my margin says, the RV, it says, but emptied himself. Emptied himself. The real death to me happened in the garden. I know the suffering came later, but the real death took place in the garden when he surrendered. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That was where the real death occurred. I know the blood, the atoning of the blood, the shedding of the blood was on the cross, and that's all, it's all important. But it was in the garden. It was in the garden where he prayed through and he emptied himself out. Think about the excuses he could have had. Wicked people, sinful man. It's not fair. It's not just. They're not fair. They're not just. They're not reasonable. He could have had all kinds of excuses. What they're doing is not right. This is a great challenge to me, because sometimes I have a strong sense of justice. But he emptied himself out. He poured himself out. Did he lose? No, he didn't lose. He won. In the eyes of the world, it looks like he lost. But in the kingdom of God, he won. He won the victory for us. You know, sometimes it looks like we'll be on the losing side. We'll be on the losing end. Sometimes we'll be tempted to take things into our own hands, and this can't happen. And we don't understand, maybe, that it's the will of God. Lord, help me. You know, we can see, we can understand that Jesus' death was necessary. The apostles didn't see it at the time. To them, it was dismaying, crushing, shattering. But it was the will of God. And they didn't see it. And I'm just saying this morning that sometimes we fail to surrender, and we hinder what the Lord wants to work in our heart, in our life. There's a song that we sing. It says, humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail, and glories never near part. There's other songs that we sing. It says, oh, how hard was to die. It is hard, isn't it? If yourself is like myself. I think it probably is. Oh, how hard it was to die for self, to crucify. There's another song that we sing. It says, all of me, none of Christ, all of me, some of Christ, some of thee, more of Christ, less of me. And the last verse says, all of Christ and none of me, none of self. It's a challenge, because our flesh, our human part of us, will make, justify. When the Holy Spirit is leading us, the flesh will begin to justify and begin to say, no. But we fail to receive the blessing. But the poor in spirit is recognizing, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your blessing. I need your favor. And it's a surrender. To be poor in spirit to me is a surrender. It doesn't have anything to do with financial poverty. But it's in the spirit. Lord, I give myself. I surrender myself to you. I want you. And it said, the meek, he will guide. You know, he can't work with a lot of people in the world today because they're like the mule. They're like the horse. They take their own way. They do their own thing. But Lord, help us today as part of his children not to be as the horse and the mule, but help us to be attentive to hear those whispers, that still small voice that will prompt us and talk to us and speak to us. Pray for me. I want to be surrendered completely to the will of God in my life.